Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. And today we're joined by a very special guest, Patrick. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back, Dr. Anbar.
Patrick was the first guest on this show, I guess, more than 2 years ago, so I really am glad to have you back. Let me tell the audience a little bit about you. So you were born and raised in San Diego, and you first discovered hypnosis as a senior in high school during a time of high anxiety and stress. You were dealing with applying to colleges and not knowing what you wanted to do with your life. You learned ways to harness your intuition and subconscious to overcome your anxiety before you attended UC Santa Barbara, and you majored in psychological and brain sciences. And after college, you worked for a biotech startup in San Diego before you moved to Seattle to enter the artificial intelligence space. You got quite a young, quite a cool career going.
Yeah, lots of different stuff going on.
It's a whole panel of choices when you're a young adult in this country, which is awesome. So you agreed to talk today to us because we've been interviewing subconsciouses over the past several weeks and learning what kind of insights people's subconscious could provide them. And one of the things that we've seen with a couple of the other interviews is that some of my patients who have been dealing with the subconscious a long time have sort of merged subconscious and conscious. So in previous interviews, we had some people whose subconscious spoke out of the awareness of the conscious self, and then other people, the conscious self is aware of what the subconscious is saying, but the answers are coming from the subconscious. And I think people who are aware of the subconscious and use it a lot experience this merger as you've experienced. So today when we interview your subconscious, I'm going to be asking him questions, but you will sort of know the answers he wants to say and speak for him. Is that a fair description of what you do?
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
So, without much further ado, why don't you get into, I guess you don't really get into hypnosis, you just are ready for the subconscious to speak, so when he's ready, let us know, just have him say hello or something.
Sure, yeah, all ready.
Excellent. So, we start off with a big question. Is there a message that you would like to deliver to the world?
I think just the main thing is to trust your gut. Go trust your intuition with things.
When you say trust your intuition, are you saying trust your subconscious?
Yeah, I would say they are, in many cases, one and the same.
Do you, like in day-to-day affairs with Patrick, does the subconscious sort of nudge you to pay attention to it sometimes?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's plenty of times, especially in my hectic work life, where, you know, I'll be incredibly busy thinking about something tangible like work, and then all of a sudden I get these weird thoughts and start thinking about something else. Maybe it's an existential crisis or something about like the meaning of life. And I always wonder, like, why I get these thoughts during random periods of time throughout the day. But I truly believe that it's just a way for my body and my mind to kind of focus more holistically on the bigger picture of what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. So I continually get nudges throughout the day so that I'm just not constantly in autopilot.
So you're going to be, you're doing your work, and suddenly you have an existential question pop up. Is that what you're describing?
Yes.
And have you figured out why it comes up at that moment?
I think it happens during periods of high stress and periods where maybe I feel like I'm on autopilot, like I said, where I'm just going about my day, not really thinking much of it, not thinking about why I'm doing it or what the purpose is. And I think it's my intuition or my subconscious way of grounding me.
So when you're asked an existential question, you get a different perspective on what's going on.
Yes, that's correct.
And that allows you to look at things differently? So if you have a different perspective, how does that affect your day-to-day function?
Yeah, let's say I have a really busy work day, and I just have a lot of different meetings that I need to attend or tasks that I need to finish. Having your subconscious bring up these questions like, oh, well, what is the actual purpose of this or why am I doing this, helps to alleviate the stress that I might have of having to do everything and understand from a broader perspective, you know, there's more to life than just work, and this is only temporary.
And when you get such a question, do you take a few moments to answer it, or you just say to yourself, well, this is a good existential question, I'll think about it later? How do you handle it during the workday?
Yeah, during the workday, I'll try and find pauses in between my work. Let's say I have pauses in between meeting or meeting ends early. I'll just take a few minutes to sit back and close my eyes and allow myself to think. I guess you could call it a form of like momentary meditation. And by doing that and addressing whatever it is that my subconscious has brought to my attention, I find myself more ready to attack the next task at hand.
And this happens like every day or once a week? How often does this kind of thing happen?
This probably happens once or twice a week. I find it happens more the busier that I am.
So when you maybe are supposed to take a break or something?
Yeah.
Interesting. And how long has this been going on for? For a couple of years? For many years? You just didn't realize it before? How would you feel about that?
I feel like it's been going on for ever since I was young. It was only until high school and college when I started practicing hypnotherapy and hypnosis that I understood more about what it was and why it was happening. And now I've just fully embraced it.
Interesting. Now, do you think other people have the same kind of relationship with their subconscious, or do you think this is fairly unusual from your perspective?
I think everybody has the capacity to have the relationship between their subconscious, their intuition, and their conscious being. It's just a matter of wanting to get to a point where they're one and the same, and you can really trust yourself.
You say something really important. Sometimes people say your intuition or gut feeling leads you astray. So how can you tell whether this is right or not?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you feel that the answer, you know, as with anything in life, I don't think everything is black or white. And it could be the case that maybe you listen to your intuition and you're wrong. But there's a reason that maybe you're wrong in that moment. And perhaps later on down the line, you were actually right, even if it felt like you were wrong right now. So it's hard to tell if what the decision you're going to make or whatever you listen to with regards to your intuition is right or wrong. It more just is.
Right. So I've seen variations of this. So sometimes the intuition leads you in the wrong direction, but that's the path you're supposed to take because you learn from the wrong direction. And other times, the interpretation of what the subconscious might be giving you is incorrect, and you need to learn from that wrong interpretation. So there are various variations of this kind of interaction.
Yeah, and, you know, there's been plenty of times in my life where my intuition surely has not been correct. And, you know, everyone gets gut feelings about things or even just knee-jerk reactions. Sometimes you might misinterpret that as, oh, my gut's really telling me to do this. But they're just momentary lapses in emotion and feeling. And you really just have to trust yourself at the end of the day, because I know plenty of times I've listened to my gut and my intuition and my subconscious, and, you know, it felt like it wasn't right at that time, and I got burned for something that I thought was correct. But I understand now that I was supposed to get burned so that I don't repeat the exact same things or fall into the emotional trap that might come with knee-jerk reactions initially.
Very interesting. Another variation of this that I've seen with other patients is that the subconscious will tell them, well, don't go down this path, and they elect to go down the path they've been warned against, and then they get burned, and then they say, oh, I learned it was wrong and why it was wrong. It wasn't just enough to listen to my subconscious. So the development is a complex kind of dichotomy or something. Yeah. All right, well, let's shift gears, and I'm going to ask another big question for you. What is the purpose of life?
Wow, Dr. Anbar, that is a great question.
Thank you so much.
I like to think of that the purpose of life is to do good by others. I'm a huge proponent of altruism and believing that, you know, we're all in this together. And if you could help shine a light on somebody's day or someone's life in any way, I don't see why you shouldn't.
And what you're saying now, that is echoed by a lot of subconscious, a lot of people have come to that conclusion. So when your subconscious interacts with you, we heard that intuition is one way. Does it ever use dreams to talk to you?
Yeah, it does use dreams sometimes. And obviously those dreams, you know, are contingent on your interpretation of them as well. But I do think that, you know, I have dreams every now and then, maybe once every few months, that reflect something I've been thinking or something I've been feeling in a visual way that strikes me the next day.
Interesting. And besides, like, the gut feeling, does the subconscious use any other physical symptoms to call your attention to maybe need to change something?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially with your autonomic nervous system, I think my subconscious is tells me that something might be wrong or I need to focus on something by giving me physical symptoms as well. So if there's moments where, you know, I'm more stressed, then I'll have heart palpitations or I'll be a little bit more shaky if I'm anxious. But then, you know, at the end of the day, when you think about, you know, when your subconscious primes you to think more holistically about life and why you're doing the things that you're doing, it kind of settles you down. So I definitely get some physical signs from, you know, your intuition, your subconscious.
So you think the subconscious actually makes you shaky or makes your heart skip a beat or something, or make you aware of your heart as a way of getting your attention?
Yeah, I think it's an initial reaction. I think it's something that happens. Say you're put in a high-stress situation, it's a you know, maybe your subconscious mind, which processes things faster than your conscious mind, realizes that and causes an autonomic reaction, right? Whether it's, you know, elevated heart rate or higher blood pressure if you're put in an anxious or stressful situation. But then when you really trust yourself and you trust your subconscious and your intuition, it actually provides the answers to get out of that situation faster than if you didn't have it in the first place.
That's a really interesting way of thinking about it. So it's not a body response. It's a subconscious mediated body response, the way you think about it. So that if the body, and I think that's true what you're saying, because if you're calm on a mind level, the body is less apt to react with, let's say, a racing heart or skipped beats. It's a really interesting reminder of the mind-body connection.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like if you're ever put in a situation where you're in danger, you are scared, your subconscious doesn't have the facility to necessarily process that on a conscious level. Just telling you to start processing it on a conscious level by giving you some physical markers like increased heart rate, higher blood pressure, stuff like that. And then at that point, you can actually start thinking about, okay, why am I actually feeling this way? What is the reasoning? What is the problem? And at that point, you can actually turn to your subconscious to help guide you out of the situation.
Right, and what I think you're emphasizing here is that it's important to listen to your body. So it's important to listen to your body when you have acute symptoms. A symptom just came up, your heart's racing, you're breathing fast. But equally important is to listen to your body if you're having chronic symptoms, high blood pressure, chronic pain. Those are also can be subconscious messages. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that.
Yeah. So does the subconscious work on problems for you, Patrick, that when you're not aware of them?
Sorry, could you repeat that last bit? You broke up a little bit.
I'm sorry. Does the subconscious work on problems even when you're not aware that it's working on those problems?
100%. You know, it could be any type of problem, small or big. So a small one, for example, let's say I'm doing the New York Times, the Wordle, which is basically you have to guess a word of the day. You have six guesses, and it tells you if a letter is in the right position or if there is a correct letter within the word, and you get another guess. But a lot of times, you know, I'll get stumped after the first couple words, and I'll just go about my day, not really think about it. And then out of the blue, just I'll be doing something completely different. A word comes to mind, and that happens to be the answer to that riddle. And that's just a small example, but it happens too when, you know, like let's say I'm working with a large client, because I do a lot of business partnerships for my artificial intelligence role up in Seattle, and they're dealing with a complex solution. They don't know how the contract should be structured, and I don't really know that either. You know, I like to give it a breather, give it a couple hours, go do something completely different, and I find that when I actually distract myself and I'm not focusing on the problem at hand, my intuition, my subconscious provides an answer that turns out to be the correct answer.
That's terrific, and that's why you often get the advice if you're stuck, step away and then come back to it later and you can look at it in a new light. And I think people do experience that. It's nice to recognize that's coming perhaps from the subconscious.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, Patrick, if you want your subconscious to do something for you, like can you ever assign it a problem, please think about this for me and get back to me later or show an answer to a dream? Do you ever do that?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways you can do this. One is you have to be clear with your intent, right? So let's say you have a problem in your day-to-day life. Maybe that problem is, you know, I don't know how to address my cousin because they did something that I'm unhappy about. You could just posit this question in your mind, really focus on it, and then just forget about it. Go about your day, do whatever you need to do. And then when you start thinking about it again for some random reason in the future, there'll most likely be an answer or a course of action based on that initial problem. And then even a more simple thing you could do, which I like to do sometimes, is you can actually use your subconscious as an alarm clock to wake up in the morning. So instead of using, you know, those terrible alarms on your iPhone that sound horrible when they go off, you know, try telling yourself the night before, I want to wake up at 6 a.m. I want to wake up at 6:30. And you'll actually be surprised that your subconscious will wake you up at the time that you set within your mind the night before. So it can really, you know, solve a lot of different problems on different scales.
I'm really glad you brought that up because I've had the same experience, and indeed it does work. And I think when I talk to kids about sleep issues and I explain to them when they're asleep, their subconscious is still aware, and I give them that example, it can wake you up when you tell them to, that this is how you can give yourself suggestions, like I want to keep my bed dry if you're having a bedwetting problem, or I want to stay in bed if you're having a sleepwalking problem, or I want to stay asleep if you're having an insomnia problem, and those suggestions as the subconscious works for you. Yeah. Does your subconscious help you with creativity?
Yeah, definitely. Same thing with the problem solving. If I just, you know, I have a creative task at hand, let's say writing a client email, even drawing or something, trying to design a website, I find myself that the more I try to focus on it, the less creative I actually am. So I think that's my conscious mind getting in the way of the subconscious processes and not trusting my gut.
Interesting. I think the same is going to be true for athletes and for people who play chess, for example. Well, I'm fascinated by what you're teaching us, Patrick. When we come back, I have a bunch more questions for you. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Anbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterpointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar, our special guest, Patrick, who was the inaugural guest on the show Center Point more than 2 years ago, and he's sharing with us wonderful insights about his interactions, his relationship with his subconscious. And we've been talking about how the subconscious can work outside of Patrick's awareness, and he can even give it assignments to do, and it carries them out. I'm wondering, does your subconscious ever mislead you on purpose?
That's a really good question. I personally don't think that it misleads you on purpose. I think that it can definitely offer suggestions that might seem counterintuitive to what you're trying to accomplish or what you're doing in your day-to-day life. But I don't think it's intentionally misleading you in any way.
Has your subconscious ever been wrong?
Yeah, there's been times in the past, for sure, when your subconscious is wrong. But at the end of the day, it is up to your conscious mind and your interpretation of your subconscious's decisions or your subconscious's suggestions, whether you even want to act on their suggestions or not.
Exactly. Okay, so let's shift gears again. Does your subconscious have connections outside of you, like to other subconsciouses or being or anything like that?
I think that although you can't paint an objective picture of the connections that a subconscious might have with another, there are definitely situations where I feel an intense form of deja vu, or like I know somebody even though I've never met them before, or I'm sure even in your life you've met people where things just come so naturally between you that you've got to wonder, there must be a reason for this, why I feel so close to this person and I've never even known them before. And I think when you have that feeling towards somebody or a situation or a place, any form of quote-unquote deja vu, as it's classically described, is some tying of subconscious properties.
So do you think that the subconscious connects with another person's subconscious? Do you think that's what's going on?
I don't know. I think there's definitely, like, your subconscious mind recognizes feelings and places and people and situations. So it could be you and someone else are in the exact same situation and you're on the same wavelength in terms of how you're feeling, and that could be why, you know, your subconsciouses feel linked. I think there's definitely cases where your subconscious is linked to others, let's say with family members, right? Like me, I feel like I'm an extension of my parents, and everybody is physically an extension of their parents. They have the same genes. But I think on a deeper level, your subconscious is tied to your family in an intangible way.
Interesting, because some people would say that the ties on the subconscious level might be with other people other than the genetic relationships between people. So sometimes it seems to transcend that. What do you think of that?
I do think that that is the case, especially with some people in your life. And I think that's something that can be built, too. I think there's definitely people that share similar intuitive beliefs and feelings as you in similar situations and circumstances, and that's why you feel so close to them out of the blue. But I think that the more you build relationships with people, ongoing and lasting ones, and the more that you help other people, I think every act of help leads to a stronger subconscious formation between the individuals.
You know, our relationship is interesting. We've talked about this in other forums, but when we first met, I felt connected to you, but I'm not sure if you felt that connection. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. That had to be built.
Right, and it's interesting because when we reconnected a couple years later, you actually shadowed me at Center Point Medicine. We were very strongly connected at that point. So it's interesting how the connection sometimes needs to be built. And it's not a one, it has to be two ways ultimately.
Yeah, it definitely has to be two ways.
All right, so let's again shift gears. I have another big question, and that is, what is your definition of God?
Wow, Dr. Anbar, all those big questions today.
These are unrehearsed.
I just think God is energy. I think God is in everybody. Everybody can harness God. I don't technically believe, like, I don't know if God is a single soul creator or what that energistic property looks like, but I think we all have the ability to harness and utilize the energy that God can provide. But yeah, I don't think I can give you a tangible definition of what God is, since I still don't really know what to believe.
Well, many people say God is not tangible, which might be part of the issue. So why can't give me a tangible explanation? Do you know if your subconscious communicates with God?
I don't know. If I think that God is energy, it's just energy that operates on a certain wavelength, then yes, I think it does, because I think the subconscious operates on a wavelength that is akin to that, and that's why maybe it can provide answers to situations that, you know, you never would have thought of before, because it's accessing something that is outside of your mental capacity and control.
Exactly. So when I asked earlier if the subconscious communicates outside of you, I think you're telling us the answer is yes. So, moving to the next question is, do you believe in fate? Do you think things happen because they're supposed to happen?
I do. I do think everything happens for a reason. And a lot of times, people, you know, even myself, we're just spending our lives trying to figure out what the reason is. But I do believe that things happen for a reason, but I'm not sure that I believe that they're pre-coordinated or predestined.
So how does that work in your mind? They're not predestined. It's a reason post hoc, later on they have a reason?
Yeah, I think it's a majority of like hindsight bias. How you interpret what happens to you is the reason for why it happens.
Interesting. Now, if you believe that there's no such thing as time, and some of my subconscious interviews have said that, then hindsight, foresight is the same thing. How is that for a paradox? We'll be right back after these messages. This is the Center Point with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com. or visit dranbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens, harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Center Point Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar. Special guest is Patrick. We're interviewing him and his subconscious. Over the break, I point out to Patrick that how he's responding, like when he says, oh, wow, or that's a tough question, is not typically a subconscious response. I do believe Patrick hears the subconscious, but then I think the response you get is his conscious rephrasing what the subconscious said. And I think this is worth pointing out to Patrick and the listening audience of what's happening. So another question for your subconscious, does he have an age?
Yeah.
And do you know what that is?
I don't know what the exact age is, but I know that it's older.
So when you say old, does that mean tens of years, hundreds of years? How old do you think it is?
Feels like hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years. And does it have a name separate from yours?
No.
And does it want a name?
No.
And how do you explain, or can you subconsciously explain how it's possible for it to be hundreds of years old in somebody who's less than a quarter century old?
It has to do with the energy that your brain operates on. You learn in the law of thermodynamics that energy can't be created or destroyed, and there is a certain amount of energy in the universe in creation that is still present today. So if your subconscious operates on this energetic wavelength, then theoretically there is no limit to the age with which the energy that your subconscious or your brain operates on can be.
Well said. So is your subconscious wiser than you?
Very much so.
And does he have abilities you don't have?
Yes.
Can you share what abilities those are? Or maybe even more relevant, is has he taught you any of his abilities that you're already using today? And if so, what are they?
Yeah, I think the biggest ability that has taught me is perseverance. I think, you know, everybody has a human body, right? A human physical capacity. But not everybody is able or fortunate enough to use it or push it to the extreme or push it to its maxes to get the most out of it. And I think that my subconscious has really taught me to accept my body and do the maximum capacity that I can do with the body that I've been given.
Speaking of that, what is the relationship of your subconscious?
Dr. Ambar, are you there?
I'm here. What is the relationship of your subconscious and your soul?
They're very much the same thing. The subconscious is just the medium between your mind and your soul.
And so your soul, did your soul exist before you were alive?
Yes.
And will your soul exist once you're dead?
Yes.
And did your soul exist within a previous life?
Yes.
And do you have any memory or recollection of that?
I don't.
And you think your soul will exist in a future life?
Yes, since the soul is simply comprised of energy and particles.
So we'll continue.
So we have our physical body, and then we have our soul. And I think that our soul is the energetic components of our physical body. Our physical body are the actual particles, the atoms you see, and the subconscious is simply the medium between your soul and your conscious being, your body. So I think that when you die, and the same thing said before you're born, that energy of your soul has to have been somewhere, because energy can't be created or destroyed, but the physical components of your body can be. So when you do die, perhaps your physical components die off too, but the energy of your soul carries on.
And you think your soul is enriched by having lived through Patrick?
Yes, and I think it's a continual enrichment.
Now, speaking of soul, and I guess of conscious, the conduit to that, has your soul been in realms other than Earth?
Been everywhere all at once.
And what's the difference between your soul and God?
I think they're somewhat the same. As I said earlier, God's in everybody. Everybody has a soul. They're both energistic properties.
And that message, again, is echoed by a number of the subconsciouses that I've interviewed. So one of the reasons I've gone about interviewing a lot of people about this is to see if there's any consensus that we can learn from this kind of interaction. And indeed, you're reinforcing what we've heard. So are there things as spirits?
Things as spirits?
Do spirits exist?
They're the same as souls, in my mind.
And has your soul interacted with the souls of other beings, people who might be dead or alive, for that matter?
Yeah, they definitely have.
Can you give an example of when your soul might have interacted with somebody who's no longer alive?
Yeah, I think it definitely interacted with my grandfather before I was alive, you know, and that was one of the reasons we were so close since the day I was born. We had a connection that was uncanny and honestly couldn't be explained.
And is your grandfather still alive?
No.
But you're still connected to him?
Yes.
That is so important to understand, and I'm glad you feel that way, and I think that is very, very true. Well, when we come back from our last break, we will talk more about soul questions. This is CenterPoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com. Or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At CenterPoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California, and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to CenterPoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar, our special guest, Patrick. We're talking about subconsciouses, lives, souls, God, and how they all interact. We talked about spirits. Now, what about demons? Do you believe they exist?
Yes.
So can you explain what that means? What does a demon mean to you?
A demon, in my mind, is just some form of bad energy, something that might interact negatively with other energy.
So if your subconscious becomes aware of a demon, what does it do? What should it do?
It should just ignore it.
Ignore it and not engage with it.
Yes.
So that's one answer. Another answer could be to exude positive energy to repel it. And yes. And yet, and yet another answer is to interact with the negative energy, find out what it wants. Oftentimes, what appears negative, this is at least what other subconscious have taught me, what appears negative is not as it appears, and if you can sort of figure out the issue, the negative energy can become neutral or even positive. Have you had that experience?
I have had that experience before, you know, and it's definitely something that can present itself in just your everyday life. As an example, say you are young or even older and there's someone in your life who doesn't like you. Let's say they're a bully. They're bullying you. A lot of times the best thing to do is either A, ignore it, or B, actually kill it with kindness. You know, confront it, continue being nice. They found there have been tons of studies showing that actually being kind to bullies just completely disarms the bully, makes it non-effective. And then the bad energy that they have towards you is gone. But again, it's very situational and circumstantial.
Right. So I think what you talk about there is really important, the loving-kindness kind of thinking that can change the way people interact with us. I've taught that to many young people who have had trouble with teachers or bosses who have been negative with them, but by projecting loving-kindness thoughts, their relationship changes repeatedly, yeah. So what about angels? Do they exist?
Yeah, I think angels are more subjective. I think that they're just souls and energy. But the reason that they're called an angel is because based on the observer's interpretation of that soul, they mean more to them than, say, other souls.
Okay, cool. Now, what about aliens? Do they exist?
I think they exist somewhere.
Has your subconscious encountered one?
No.
No. And then I have one final big question, and that is, ready for this? What is love?
Love is your willingness to give without expecting anything in return. And what I mean by that is, I think loving relationships, you know, a lot of things in life are give-get, right? You put in X amount of work, you get X amount back. You know, a lot of people, they might just donate X amount of money because they expect X amount of karma back or something good. But I think true love is when you do things for people because you genuinely care about them and you don't expect anything in return.
Now, I've known you for many years at this point. Would you agree if I say that you live your life in a loving fashion in general, as a general rule?
Yes.
And to me, that's an ideal, that's a good goal to have, that we should all be loving of each other. The world would be very different if we were all able to do this for each other.
Yeah, the world would be a lot better.
So we're coming up to the conclusion of the show, and I typically ask our guests, and this time I'm going to ask you and your subconscious, what three tips would you want to give people that they can employ in their life today to improve themselves based on your life experiences?
Yeah, the first is just to trust yourself. You know, you're continually evolving person, being, and there's going to be lots of different versions of you, both in the past and in the future. But the only thing that you can do during that whole situation is not, you know, question yourself every day, but just trust that you are who you are and that everything's going to work out. So trusting yourself is the biggest thing that I could say. In terms of the other two, one would be if you're ever facing hardships or, you know, difficult circumstances in your life, try to zone out as much as you can. Zoom out, sorry. Think bigger picture. Think, you know, human population is 8-9 billion people. Think about how we're only on the planet for a small moment in history. And then look at the problem or the circumstance that you're in. It helps to kind of frame it correctly in your mind. And then the third piece of advice is just to be good to at least one or two other people every single day. Do something to help them. Do something that makes their lives easier, because at the end of the day, if you can make their lives easier, I guarantee you'll feel much better about not only your life, but good things happen.
Do you think that being good involves channeling positive energy?
Yes.
So each of your three tips, which are excellent, trust yourself, zoom out to gain perspective, and then be good through channeling energy, those all involve your subconscious. Would you agree with that?
I would.
So as we go through this world as humans, and when we ask how do we improve ourselves, what I hear you saying and your subconscious saying that is, be all of you, channel your inner self through your outer self, or the inner self through your mind and body, to maximize the positivity you can bring into the world. Hope that's
exactly
paraphrasing you correctly.
You are.
Excellent. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for the insights you shared. You echoed some of what we've been heard from other subconscious, but you've given a lot of this your own spin, which I find extremely valuable, and I really thank you for sharing those ideas with me and our audience. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.